So one of the problems with sleep, which was proposed because of this pathological classification, was that you would have a thing called REM sleep behavioural disorder. So this has become a big thing in Parkinson's disease. So REM sleep behavioural disorder is where you go into REM sleep, which is when you dream. And normally when you dream in REM sleep, you disconnect your brain from your body. So your dreams remain in your head and your body remains steady and still in the bed. If you have REM sleep behavioural disorder, what happens is you act out your dreams. So you start thrashing about, screaming and things of that nature. Now what they have done in these two studies is they have looked at people who have developed REM sleep behavioural disorder. They haven't got Parkinson's disease. They've turned up to a sleep clinic. They say, I've got this problem. They recognise it as a REM sleep behavioural disorder, and they followed them over time. And in this study, 67 patients were collected in 2004. 5 years later, of those 67, 17 of them had developed something like Parkinson's disease. In this study here, they collected another group of patients who had this REM sleep behavioural disorder, and a significant number of these patients went on to develop Parkinson's disease. So these studies would suggest that the very earliest feature of Parkinson's disease may not be these abnormalities of movement, the tremor, the slowness of movement and the rigidity, but may actually be a problem with coordinating sleep and dreaming. And that may precede Parkinson's disease by years. One patient here, up to 50 years. Now, I think they probably had these two conditions incidentally, but they have an interval of up to 25 years from when they presented with their sleep problem to when they presented to their GP with their Parkinson's disease. So this disease, which we classically think of as beginning at the age of 70, that's the average age you get Parkinson's disease, may actually begin at 45 or 40. It may actually begin decades before we actually think it does. So this has rather changed how we think about Parkinson's disease. There is this prodromal, pre-Parkinson's disease, which has these non-motor features, which may precede the development of the motor features by decades. Now, coming back to synuclein, if that is the case and the disease begins in the lower part of the brainstem, then how does the disease begin? Does it actually truly begin there, or does it begin somewhere else, and how does the disease then progress? We have to go on a slight diversion here, and we have to look at a very interesting series of studies that were published 4 years ago about pathology in transplants of fetal dopamine cells, and you'll see where all this leads in a minute. So essentially in these studies, which were published in Nature Medicine, what they demonstrated was that in a few patients who had gone for fetal transplant, so in this project what happened, patients with advanced Parkinson's disease had an experimental treatment where the developing dopamine cells from aborted fetuses was transplanted into their brains. These patients subsequently died from unrelated causes, often not related to the Parkinson's, 10 to 15 years later. When they looked at these fetal dopamine cells in the transplant, what they found was that these fetal dopamine cells in the transplant now appeared to have Parkinson's disease. So you think, well, is that interesting? Well, it is interesting because those dopamine cells are only 15 years old. And you don't tend to see Parkinson's disease patients aged 15. And if you do, it's not because they have Lewy bodies, they have a rare genetic form of Parkinson's disease. So this then raised another question, which was how have these cells developed the pathology of Parkinson's disease? So there were two theories that were put forward. One was that these Lewy bodies in the transplant, which you see in Parkinson's disease, have come about because there's inflammation around the transplant. The transplant has an inflammatory reaction, and as part of that reaction, it produces alpha-synuclein, it forms Lewy body. The other possibility was that the transplant had got Lewy body pathology because the patient had given it to them. In other words, the pathology in the patient's brain out here had been transferred into the transplant. So this raised the idea, coupled to the Braak classification, that Parkinson's disease may be like mad cow disease. It may be a prion disorder. Now, before you all panic and think, what have I eaten that's given me Parkinson's disease? The idea here is that what goes wrong in Parkinson's disease is that the protein, alpha-synuclein, this protein that lies at the core of the disease, for some reason changes shape. So it doesn't mutate, it doesn't suddenly produce lots more of it. For some reason, it changes shape. And when it changes shape, it acts as a template for the normal alpha-synuclein to bind to it and change its shape. The consequence is that once this has started, it carries on seeding itself and spreading through the brain. So in the case of the transplants, what you would imagine is that the patient who had the transplant has passed the abnormal synuclein into the transplant. It gets into the transplant, and then the abnormal one takes the normal synuclein, twists it into an abnormal shape, and it starts to aggregate and form a Lewy body. In other words, the synuclein can spread from one nerve cell to another, and by so doing, it can then spread pathology as it passes along that pathway. And subsequent to that, there have been many studies which have shown that. So there have been many studies, including our own studies, which have shown that if you put alpha-synuclein in one nerve cell, it will get out of that nerve cell and it will pass to another nerve cell. Now, that's not to say that that's causing Parkinson's disease, but hopefully by now you can start to see where all this is leading in terms of how people are now starting to think about Parkinson's disease. One more piece of evidence I'll give you before we try and bring it together. This was a study which was done by my colleague Maria Grazia Spilantini in Cambridge, which comes back to this issue about alpha-synuclein starting at the bottom of the brain and spreading up. What Maria did with a group in Germany was that she took a known risk factor for Parkinson's disease, which is this pesticide rotenone, and she fed it to a group of mice. So they just ate their normal food, and within it was this pesticide called rotenone. Now, that doesn't do the animal any harm. It just gets into its gut. And what she found was that if you feed the mice this rotenone, and then you go looking inside after a number of months, you find that, first of all, within the gut, there is alpha-synuclein. So that the eating of this pesticide has induced the expression of alpha-synuclein in the gut. If you then look at the nerves which go into the gut, they also contain alpha-synuclein. And finally, if you go looking in the brain of these mice, you will find that there is alpha-synuclein in the brain. So what is being proposed is that something that is eaten gets into the gut, it causes alpha-synuclein to change in the gut, that then passes up the nerves and into the brain.